Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Some councils are auditing schools and urging a ban on the terms boy and girl.
For those who are in an open or polyamorous relationship, your relationships are holy.
A gay black woman's victim status is less than that of a black trans woman, who ranks below a black Muslim trans woman.
We don't want to just win the argument about sexuality. We want to use this as a gospel opportunity.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What are you waiting for?
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. What are you waiting for? You see wretched things. We need wretched things. Look what a fine couple we would make if and you'd send it to idea@wretched.org or text away to 877-282-2337 where your question, comment, conundrum, or snark will be read by Malchus. Take it away, Malchus.
What does that mean?
You know the high priest. Little soldier that went out to arrest you.
Yeah.
I think that's actually the Greek word. His little soldier. He went out to arrest Jesus. And correct. Peter did what?
He cut his ear off. How long did it take you?
Not long at all. Because I read my Bible.
Okay.
And I've got references like that at the ready. Actually, so I'm reading through 1 Samuel. Like to, of course, remind myself and refresh myself of the trajectory of the history of Israel and reading what some people have unhitched. We call it the Old Testament. And I'm reminded again how at the ready the Puritans were with Old Testament references. Okay, I get Malchus. He's Matthew 26. Well, he's actually, is he mentioned in Matthew 26 by name? I think so, maybe. Regardless, he got his ear cut off by Peter, who was using the sword wrongly. And Jesus heals him. So apparently you're not like Malchus in that regard because that hacked sideburn of your...
It's not healed.
It just has not healed. But you read the Puritans and it's like Ichbanisheth who said, it's like, wait, who's Ichbanisheth? How do you know who these people are? They had such a grasp of Old Testament characters, Old Testament narratives, that they could bring them to the ready. And that is why they would so regularly use an Old Testament reference when making an illustration, giving an illustration or sharing, this is kind of like that, or here's an example. And they would go back to the Old Testament. That's ideal. It doesn't mean that you can't use other illustrations, but I think the ideal illustration is taken from the Bible itself. I just wish I knew mine as well as the Puritans did. You know, here's a question. All right. I recognize I'm like simplifying something that isn't this simple. But here's a question for me. Here's a question for you. We have so much technology. We have so much entertainment. We have so many distractions. We're so busy with stuff. It seems that in general, we don't know our Bibles as well as those who didn't have all of those conveniences and distractions. Question, which era was better for a believer? Today's era, where we love the benefits of the cell phone and the technology, and I've got my map and I can get my directions, check out the stock market and the weather that's coming here. It's so convenient. Or would it be better to sacrifice that so I could know my Bible more? I think that's kind of a no-brainer. No, I'm not saying that you should get rid of your phone and just study your Bible, although I would not say that. Study after study, they are messing us up, young and old alike, perhaps more young people because their brains are still forming at that stage, but they're just bad for us. And one of the worst ways that they're bad for us is how distracting that they take us away from doing stuff. From studying scripture, from memorizing the Bible, from serving in the church, from hitting the streets and evangelizing, which era is really better? Take it away, Malchus.
This is a text.
I'm telling you, you need to do the other side. Because then it would look like you did it on purpose.
I know,
it
but
says
I didn't.
The one side, and it looks like a horrible gaffe in your sideburn.
It is a horrible gaffe.
Do the other one.
No.
What different? They're both going to grow back at the same pace. Are you just going to walk around like cupping your ear the rest of your days?
I'm just not going to go anywhere until it grows back.
Wow.
Just wow. home and work.
I see.
But I do have to go to the grocery store.
Uh-oh. Put on, you know what? I've got it. I've got your solution. Mask. Put on a mask.
That's who's going to say something else.
Well, and I could say even more about that, but to each their own.
That's right. All right. This is from Ashley. She texted in, I know Mr. Friel does not like fiction that includes magic like Harry Potter. But what about Christian fiction like Narnia or The Lord of the Rings?
Yeah, there is a distinction. One is a Christian allegory. One is a fantasy trying to illuminate truth from the Bible. The other one isn't. It's kind of a glorification of, I know they look like good witches, but it's still witchcraft and God hates it. Any sort of divination, he is repulsed by it. And so when it takes on that form and it's not intended to educate or to illuminate, then I think that it falls on the wrong side of the line of Deuteronomy 18. He despises that stuff. Now, I have a confession to make. I've never been a big fan of Narnia and those types of fantasy books, but that's just a preference issue. I think, not sure, but I think I'm being consistent in saying that there's a distinction between books that seek to teach and glorify God and those who teach and seek to glorify witchcraft. Jimmy, Malchus, you got anything else in there?
No, I agree.
All right. 877-282-2337. But you were going to say something anyway, weren't you?
I was going to say, you know, books like Safely Home come to mind.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, that's fiction, but that's biblical.
Right, but there's the fantasy. In the Narnia books, are there superpowers that people are using?
I don't know. I've never read them. I don't have any clue.
What kind of a Christian are you? Read them?
Yeah, never have.
Am I ever being censorious? I haven't either, but I can judge you, Pally boy.
That's right.
877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Adam. Todd, I was wondering, can you be born again and not believe the New Testament is divinely inspired? My younger brother, who used to be a youth pastor at megachurch, has been going down this weird path. He used to believe the whole Bible is God's word, but now says the Old Testament is, but the New Testament is just accurate history, but not from God.
And I wonder how he tries to make that case. Not sure I can think of a verse that would make that sort of arbitrary distinction. Left side, yes. Right side, no, all scripture is inspired by God, for it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, etc. And you say, wait, that's Paul talking to Timothy, telling him the Old Testament is inspired. That is correct. But the New Testament holds itself on the same plane. How do I build that case? Jesus told the disciples, now you're going to recall, the Holy Spirit is going to help you to recall all the things that I taught you. Furthermore, these individuals wrote things down as if they were the word of God. Peter affirms Paul as being an inspired writer of the Bible. Furthermore, it's not just history. The New Testament has some history, that is sure. But before you would even call the Gospels history, I'd call them a biography. The epistles are thoroughly didactic. Yeah, the book of Acts, sure. That's kind of then this, then that for the purpose of recalling early church history. But even that was didactic. The book of Revelation is apocalyptic literature, which was, there's another verse. John saying, I got a vision from God. Well, that would make it Bible, inspired by God. So I'd be curious to know what verse that he uses to make that distinction, which is interesting because these days it's usually reverse. Andy Stanley. Jimmy, I'm sorry.
You good?
A little something stuck in my throat. The Marcion heresy, that the Old Testament, that's got to be unhitched. That's the one that can't be inspired by God because, well, that God is kind of a big meanie. We like the nice New Testament God, which is really quite hysterical because when you read the New Testament, got to tell you, God is still scary. Read Revelation. He's otherly. So I am surprised that somebody's saying not the new, because these days the trend is not such a big fan of the old, which is both wrong, which are both wrong. Neither one of them is right. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anna. Todd, after years of being unsubmissive and disrespectful toward my husband, the Holy Spirit has convicted me of my sin. But after all those years, my husband's attitude is now, happy wife, happy life. So how can I show him my new desire to submit and respect him?
Keep on keeping on. In a marriage, when there has been a pattern of something, sin, just annoying behavior, whatever it is, it gets pretty entrenched and ingrained in the other spouse. And you can't just tell them, hey, I'm different, just stop it. Well, I mean, you can encourage them in that regard, but you could say, hey, I'm different. Let me show you. Let me just keep showing you. And I'll keep checking back in to see if you are persuaded by my behavior that my words are true. So don't give up. Don't quit quickly. Don't give in. Instead, just keep persevering and just keep showing. And if he's never persuaded, at that point, you could call in some reinforcements to help him show, to help him to see, hey, you really are different. But don't be surprised that it takes some time. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. But what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting FortisInstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You know what's remarkable? Fortis Institute's podcasts have quietly climbed the charts, all of them in at least the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide, three of them in the top 2%. Todd Friel, Adam Tyson, Brad Bigney, Greg Gifford, John Krotz, Libby Glosson, real teachers addressing real issues. And you can find it all on the Fortis Plus app, completely free. Download it, use it, share it, and then partner with us at fortisinstitute.org because we truly believe the church deserves better. You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. That's why Dr. Greg Gifford wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. So if we were going to be honest with one another, we would have to admit that every day our phone buzzes with celebrity scandals and political outrage and notifications of TikTok trends. But what if your phone could deliver something different? Meet Fortis Plus. If you haven't already downloaded it yet, I want to urge you to take that opportunity right now. It's free and it will replace noise with nourishment. Download it right now where you download your apps, or just go to fortisplus.org, because what feeds your mind shapes your life. You remember when you first discovered solid biblical teaching? It was the moment when the door swung open and everything changed in your life. What if we could fling those doors wide open for everyone, everywhere? Later this year, we're unveiling something unprecedented, and that's why we need you now. More than ever before. Through June 30th, every dollar you give will be doubled through our matching grant. Visit fortisinstitute.org/truth before June 30th, because truth, well, it was never meant to have barriers. fortisinstitute.org/truth.
Know your reformers. William Tyndale provided the first complete translation of the New Testament into English in 1526. While he was in prison for the crime of translating the Bible, he continued to translate the Old Testament until he was strangled and burned at the stake in 1536. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Love and marriage. This is Wretched Radio. Apparently, marriage has been on your mind, according to Jimmy, who just told me most of the texts, most of the emails are about marriage and parenting.
Yeah, today.
Where rubber meets the road. That's the real life stuff, isn't it? It's inside of the home. Hey, just as a shout out, Brad Bigney's podcast, Thrive, if marriage and parenting, family life, if you could use some inside information a la the Bible, his podcast, you'll dig it. It flies by. It's just about every single word. It's like, that's helpful, Brad. Thrive, it is available at fortisplus.org, or you can also get it wherever you do your podcasting stuff. And if and I might, we're coming very, very close to the end of our match campaign. Could use your help getting there. Dollar for dollar match. This is our effort to close the store and aggressively give all of our Bible study resources away. Would you consider helping us? FortisInstitute.org/truth.
All right. This one is from Anonymous, who texted in, Todd, I'm getting married soon.
See, what would have been funnier?
What's that?
If it weren't a marriage or parenting question.
Well, I thought about that.
Just sitting right there for you, buddy boy.
I know. I'm getting married soon, and I've heard you say that a husband lives with one's wife in an understanding way by studying her.
Yeah.
What wisdom do you have pertaining to how to do that?
Oh, you've got to give it time. Let me. You can observe your wife. You can observe anything. All right. Let's give this a go. It's like listening to music. I can hear something and go, oh, I like that. Oh, I get that. That's rock and roll. That's orchestra. That's Baroque. Whatever it happens to be. But if I sit and listen to it over and over again, and I listen to the layering, and I listen to the musicality, consider what instruments were chosen, then I start to like, okay, I'm getting this thing more and more. It takes time to do the studying. So don't just think by living with your spouse, you're studying them. Yeah, you're getting some surfacey stuff, but you've got to go below that, and that demands time. So for instance, let's say that your wife is regularly, she seems a little angry. Let's try that. She seems to just be a little bit on edge. All right, so here's what you've observed by observing her anger. She gets angry. But you have not studied her. What causes it? What motivates it? You got to get in there and figure it out, which probably means you're going to have to communicate, dude. You're going to have to ask some questions. And this is the stuff of manhood. And let's just say that this woman is angry. Most likely, sir, you're thinking, well, I don't want to bring it up because she's going to get angry at me. Yep, she might. So what do you need to do? You need to think and set it up. How can I get us into a place where it's like, it's chill, it's relaxed, and I can ask questions. And that might actually demand that you do some stuff before you do the stuff to get her ready. Because maybe she doesn't want to talk to you because you don't listen well. Maybe she doesn't want to talk to you because all you do is just fire off the solutions to this stuff. So you're going to have to maybe go back and retill some soil so that she will be more open with you. Then you figure out a way. How can we have a conversation about this at some point? What would be the best way? So study. Okay, is it going to the beach? Is it going for a walk? Is it having a nice meal? Does she like to read? I could get, you know, maybe try to slide in a book, listen to a sermon. Strategize and think it through so that you can talk about it and ask what I think is the important question. Honey, when you seem to get a little uptight about things, what's going on in your heart? What's happening? And she might be able to tell you what's going on. She might not. And let's say she can't. Guess what you need to do? Keep studying. Because there could be a number of things that cause her to be angry. It could be disappointment. It could be pride. Why can't everybody else get their act together like I have my act together? It could be fear that manifests itself in the fruit of anger. It's a rotten fruit, but nevertheless, it's a fruit. And the root is fear. Study. Get in. This isn't a casual thing. And you should seek to do, we should all seek to do this. It took me way too many years to figure this out. In fact, I remember when Fireproof, this whole study thing came out with the movie Fireproof. That was in 2007, something like that. I still think it's a good movie, actually. Nevertheless, one of the love dares, I think that's what it was, wasn't it? That trend was you 40 days, you do something for your wife. And one of them, you know, you study, you get a PhD. I think that's what one of the firemen said to the fireman. Study, get a PhD. And I remember it going, yeah, I think I got it. I didn't got it. I mean, of course you know somebody after living with them for a decade or two, but not if you're not thinking about them, studying them. What's going on in there? When does this happen? Are there any, oh, what do they call them these days? The things that set you off that you can't do.
Triggers.
Trigger warning. What are they? Okay. What are they? Forget the psychological baggage behind it. What is it? You must study by observing and thinking and talking. And if your marriage isn't at that place where those conversations can happen, don't give up hope. Don't give up hope. But I would say this, just stall your desire to have those conversations. Other things need to be worked on first. Other things perhaps need to be healed or patched so that you can have those conversations. So if all of this is just sounding just too fantastic for you, don't give up hope. Listen to Brad Bigney's podcast, Thrive, wherever you do, Spotify, Apple, Google, whatever it is, and it will help you to heal and to grow together. I have the pleasure. I'm so really looking forward to this. I get to this afternoon. Perform a wedding, and it is a young couple, and they're all googly eyed. It's so fun to watch. It's just so fun to just they're just heady and giddy, and then I get to deliver a short message, and it's based on Ephesians 5. And my observation of the text is you're probably running to Ephesians 5. I think it's 22. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husband loves your wife. Love your wife the way that Jesus loved the church. Seeking to present her as a bride without blemish, spot or blemish. And you go, okay, those are the wedding verses. But notice what they are. What is the command to submit? What is the command to love? First of all, love is doing, not feeling. But both of those commands for the bride and for the groom are doing. You do stuff for the other. That's what you do things for them. And out of that doing, that is an expression of agape love. And guess what is produced out of that ground? The fruit of warm feelings, not like, oh, like wedding day feelings, you know, the tingly. No, it'll be deep, lasting, profound, maybe not buzzy, but they will surpass understanding. They will help you feel secure in a world that's just bonkers because you have bonded together in this way by serving one another, spending yourself for one another. Out of that then is produced the feelings. And so if you're married and it's not, the feelings aren't there, then you got to go back a bit. Got to start serving. Got to start doing. Got to start loving. Got to start submitting. And let things heal. Give it time. It could take years. Not kidding. Could take years. But it is absolutely worth fighting for. 877-282-2337.
I think if I would have understood a whole lot earlier in my marriage, I would have saved a whole lot of issues.
Yep.
But I think a lot of times as men, we think women are a problem to figure out, an equation And they we've got to figure out what makes them tick or whatever, or how they think. And I think you can just be upfront. Like when there's an issue that your wife has, I think you ask her upfront, hey, is this something that you want me to fix or help you fix? Or is this, you just want me to listen to you?
Yeah.
Because we just take the, we have a tendency to want to fix everything mm-hmm. and we can't. Mm-hmm. And so that would have saved me years of problems if I would have just understood that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What?
Nothing.
You going to let me just sit in that?
You're no, not... I'm going to let you fill the time.
Why?
I know what you did.
That's exactly what I did.
I know exactly what you did. There was like a minute and a half left.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
didn't want to ask another question.
I did not.
For a reason. I guess I'll have to study you. Might have something to do with that sideburn. So you jump in. You don't ask the question. Then you fall short with your filling time and expect me to clean up your mess. Well, I divorce thee. Okay, it was only one time, so it doesn't count. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.